It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A couple months back, Congress passed a law that would ban the popular social media app TikTok unless the Chinese company that owns the platform sells it by next year. The concern is that the Chinese government could exercise influence over the company ByteDance.
Roughly one-third of American adults scroll TikTok regularly. That's according to Pew Research, and nearly two-thirds of teens say they're on the app.
We reached out to a couple of Wisconsin creators active on the platform. Here's TikTok star Mercury Stardust, also known as the trans handyman, with her thoughts on the federal government's law.
This is absolutely a TikTok ban. No matter what name they give it, no matter how many times they say it's about national security, when it comes down to it, those are hypothetical arguments. What we do know is this has been an app that has helped us have pro-Palestine movements, Black Lives Matter movements, and has helped the trans community get the words out about anti-trans laws all across the country. We also know this app has helped a lot of small businesses and is essential to the music industry at this point. Small businesses are able to cut through all the noise in this attention economy, and TikTok has been a big part of that. I know firsthand how it can help people because TikTok helped us raise $4 million in the last 3 years by doing our gender-affirming care fundraiser. So ultimately, this saddens me, and I hope we can do something about it.
We also heard from Kristen Bry, creator of As Goes Wisconsin and video columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As many parents working from home may be familiar with, you'll hear her baby daughter in the background.
I think for me personally, I would be bummed. Like, I like TikTok. I think it was a revolutionary step in the evolution of social media and how people create content and how people consume content. I was lucky enough that my social media presence led me to actual employment through Journal Sentinel and WTMJ. And so I'm not currently, as far as like monetarily, it's not like that's where I make my money right now anyways. And I think I'd be able to still create stuff for As Goes Wisconsin or for me personally. I can still do it on Instagram. I can still do it on YouTube. It's different, but it's not like you're taking all of my tools away from my toolbox. For creators in general, I think, you know, it's a big deal. I think TikTok made it really easy for small businesses to market themselves, especially as they're getting out and not having to be like a marketing expert as they're trying to find people who would want their products or want their services. Sorry, that's my daughter. And I don't know if Instagram Reels does the same thing or if YouTube Shorts does the same thing. And so it's certainly a loss, and it certainly doesn't fix a bigger problem of how our data is being used and how there's predatory algorithms for young people and for all of us. But I don't think it's going to be a huge blow, and I think it just opens the door for whatever the next TikTok is.
So what is the new TikTok law and why is it happening? Dave Schrader is the research director for the Wisconsin Information Security Center. Dave, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
My pleasure.
Now, we've got two lawsuits here over this TikTok-related law. The company itself, first of all, suing, and then a handful of TikTok creators sued last month. The basic concept is, hey, this law is silencing our free expression. We're going to watch those lawsuits make their way through. What do you think of this argument that whatever the security concerns that we get into in a bit, that there's a free speech concern here?
Well, this is something that we expected. You know, of course, TikTok itself, as well as the users of the platform, you have an argument here too, and we're going to see that argument play out in the courts. It's unclear what position the courts are going to take, but, you know, from what we've seen, they're receptive to that First Amendment argument.
Former Republican Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher was at the center of this story. He authored the bill that ended up passing the House, ultimately signed by President Biden. Here's Gallagher speaking on the House floor.
It takes no position at all on the content of speech, only foreign adversary control. Foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
Dave, can you talk us through TikTok's ownership and why that's raised such national security concerns for then Congressman Gallagher and many others?
Yes. So TikTok is controlled by a Chinese company called ByteDance. And, you know, there's no such thing as really a private company in China. So the concern is the government ties that ByteDance has and the potential influence that the Chinese government has over the platform, the information that appears on the platform, and potentially the algorithm, what is driving the content that people see on the platform. And I think the concerns here are twofold. One is the you know, the more conventional data privacy aspect, where you have this app installed on, you know, 170 million Americans' devices and hundreds of millions more around the world. And there's very deep permissions that the app has by default to access things like your contacts, to see what websites and search terms you're using within the app, because a lot of people don't leave the app when they're using that app to, you know, just scroll through as they do. And a lot of other, you know, fine-grained access to things like your location and what other apps you have installed on your device, things of that nature. And that all flows back to TikTok and ByteDance. And the concern is that the Chinese government would also have access to that information. The second aspect, and I think this is what Representative Gallagher and some of the members of Congress and national security officials who have concerns about this are more concerned with, and that's the information that you're seeing on the platform. So what goes viral versus what doesn't? What appears at the top of the search results if you search for a sensitive topic like Gaza or Taiwan or anything that might have a geopolitical context or a national security concern? You know, the algorithm is that magic that that really keeps people on the platform for the more, you know, benign content, you know, whether it's just, you know, entertainment type videos or whatever someone's interested in. But what are people seeing when you're going for that news content or things that are more important? And that's really where the national security concern is.
We're talking about the potential ban of the social media site TikTok if it isn't sold under a federal law. Dave Schrader is with us with the Wisconsin Information Security Center. Dave, why TikTok in particular? You might say, okay, Twitter, now X, owned by Elon Musk, who owns Tesla. Half of Tesla's cars are produced in Shanghai in China. Could be subject to influence, to pressure from the Chinese government. If we say, okay, TikTok, do we then say X needs a closer look because of potential foreign influence?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly people have raised that argument. And it really comes back to the nexus of control. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of U.S. companies that have ties to China. We have a lot of economic ties in terms of manufacturing to things that are manufactured in China. So there's a very intricate web, you know, that's certainly interconnected. And TikTok, I think, stands out because it is directly foreign controlled. And you could, you know, you could argue that other platforms might have similar vulnerabilities, or that other platforms are even used in the same way by foreign actors or domestic actors, for that matter. You know, and they are. But again, it comes back to it being that much easier with TikTok because of the nexus of foreign control. And one point I would raise here too is that platforms, you know, like Instagram and YouTube and X aren't available in China. So, you know, the Chinese population can't use those platforms. They also can't use TikTok. So TikTok itself as a platform is banned in China. The platform that is available in China is another platform run by ByteDance that's like TikTok called Douyin. It is not the same content. It is not the same algorithm. It is not set up the same as TikTok. You know, in China, the landscape for Douyin is that young people can only use it for 40 minutes a day. It is not available after 10 p.m. And before 6 a.m. And the type of content that is on the platform is content that the Chinese government feels is positive, you know, has a positive social influence on young people in China. So that's not to say that, you know, the U.S. government should exert that level of control over U.S. platforms or all social media. But, you know, when you look at TikTok, a Chinese platform, not even being available in China, you know, you have to ask yourself what interests are in play there for the Chinese government.
A related concern is you hear from some people. Yeah, I don't like that TikTok has all this data on people. Also don't like that Facebook and X and all the other social media providers have all this data access. I've heard this from people on both sides of the ban TikTok argument. Should we also be talking about saying, hey, let's restrict how much data these social media giants have on us in the first place?
I think that's a really great point. And that would allow us to, you know, have some uniformity applied to these platforms, regardless of how they're controlled. And this has been something that, you know, this data privacy argument in general has been something that has been going on for several years. And it has really been a piecemeal approach in the United States, where we have various states, like California has one of the strongest sets of laws out there on data privacy, but it's really a patchwork approach. And so, you know, this year, we're seeing a privacy law at the federal level, you know, have potentially a good chance of getting passed. We'll see what happens. But, you know, this speaks to some of those issues like when and how social media platforms or other internet platforms can store Americans' private data, the rights that Americans have to see or delete that data, or you know, to even know what is being collected about them, and some controls on what exactly can be collected on platforms that operate in the U.S. And if something like that were in place, you know, then you'd have, I think that would address some of these broader data privacy concerns that you're talking about.
The clock is ticking on this TikTok law right now, but in the meantime, it's out in the wild. About a third of American adults are on TikTok, according to Pew Research back in April. That means people out there listening probably have TikTok. What do you suggest to users, given the current state of affairs, the Chinese control, the Chinese companies' control over TikTok? How should we be looking at TikTok? Should we be looking at TikTok at all?
I think that the key here is awareness. We have a free and open information environment that we generally let operate freely. And that goes for TikTok, you know, for that matter. And the way that TikTok operates and the way that all other social media platforms operate, I encourage people to ask questions about, especially when you have something that's driven by an algorithm specifically designed to keep you on the platform, to keep you scrolling. You know, in the case of something like Instagram, you know, at the end of that chain, it's advertising dollars, right? You know, they want to keep you on the platform because the more eyeballs are on the platform, the more eyeballs look at ads, and the better a case they have with advertisers to, you know, to buy ads on the platform. With TikTok, TikTok is still not a commercially viable platform. That's something that I don't think a lot of people know. So, you know, the Chinese government were willing to not block the sale of TikTok from ByteDance. You know, ByteDance isn't interested in selling. The Chinese government has said that they would block any forced sale. But I have some questions about who really would even want to buy it. While there's a lot of revenue there and there's certainly a lot of users on the platform, it's, you know, as it stands, it's still not a commercially viable platform. So, you know, that again raises questions for me about what exactly is the value proposition for ByteDance and the Chinese government to have this platform out there. But I think it really comes down to awareness. You know, when you look up something on any platform, I don't care if it's a search engine or Facebook or TikTok, what is it that you're seeing at the top and why? and think a little bit about the interests of what the platform is showing you first. And we've already seen some of the revelations about Facebook where, you know, things like an angry reaction are weighted more heavily than a like. And, you know, that means that content that outrages people ends up getting prioritized more than, you know, than the alternatives. And so when you have an ecosystem like that, where, you know, where a platform's looking to strike out at someone's emotions, and, you know, TikTok does that very effectively with geopolitical topics, you know, it's not a coincidence that when you look at the statistics that show that young people are increasingly getting the majority of their news from TikTok, and then the opinions they might have about geopolitical issues that are more in line with, you know, what the Chinese government might support than the U.S. government. You know, there's some real questions that go to those geopolitical concerns.
Early last year, Governor Evers in Wisconsin banned the use of TikTok on state phones and other state devices. That is still in place while all this is going out of this federal legislation. Do you think that was a good move?
I think that there is not a lot of reason to have foreign government controlled social media apps on government devices. So, you know, personally, I don't have any issues with that as it pertains to government devices. You know, there's the same type of restrictions at the federal level on U.S. Government-owned devices. So, I see that standing, you know, regardless of where the TikTok ban heads.
I got to ask, as somebody who studies security and national security, does it feel like we're constantly playing catch up with social media? Like it spreads so quickly, a new one springs up so quickly, and we're chasing after it to keep our security up?
I think with the rise of social media in general, and then these, you know, algorithmic driven platforms, and then now paired with artificial intelligence and the way that you can really hone in and, you know, do micro targeting on populations where you really understand what are those specific things, you know, types of content, phrasing, you know, things to highlight in a video that might really drive someone to act or think or, you know, decide in a certain way. That's something that when you have a free information environment like we do in the United States and in a lot of Western nations, it's really hard to counter, you know, themes that might be pushed on it. By the time something goes viral, it's really too late for, you know, what you might call legacy media or anyone in the, you know, kind of the legacy institutions to respond to it. It's a really difficult problem set.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dave Schrader directs research at the Wisconsin Security Research Consortium and Wisconsin Information Security Center. If you are a TikTok user or creator, love to hear what you think about all this. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.